Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, America's number one trusted resource for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Starring award-winning real estate coaches Tim and Julie Harris. Get ready for unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what is truly working to get you into action and make you money in this new real estate boom. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
We're joined today by Laura Roy from the Real Estate Group serving the Virginia Beach area. Laura is an experienced real estate professional with over 2 decades of experience in real estate, selling hundreds of homes in her local market area. She spent 18 years with RE/MAX, with individual production ranked as high as third of the RE/MAX agents in the state of Virginia. After retiring for 2 years, Laura came back into the industry and decided to hire Tim and Julie Harris as her coaching company. After settling back into a routine and once again growing a successful business, she is now a coach herself and joins us to discuss how agents can perform better in their real estate careers. Now, let's welcome Laura to the call as we join our host, Tim Harris.
All right, Laura, so what all the listeners want to know is what the heck were you doing for those 2 years?
I was being consistent.
I'm enjoying retirement. Oh, really? Okay. Well, so the reason I asked is because the idea of realtors retiring, that's something that I don't think our industry has quite embraced yet. So you might be the maybe second or third person I've ever talked to who had real estate as their primary career that retired, but then you came back. Did you just miss it, or what brought you back?
Well, I spent a lot of time enjoying, you know, working with my husband and helping him some things with his practice. And then we kind of got that settled. So I did a lot of paddle boarding and diving and having fun. And then I got bored.
Yeah.
So I thought,
that.
You know what? I have got to make some use of my time. And I started projects around the house, and my husband wasn't sure I should do, so he welcomed me going back to real estate for a little while.
So what was it like getting back in after you'd been out for a couple of years, were enjoying your I'm sure, well-earned time off, getting back in? Was it hard?
Yes and no. I can tell you I was incredibly thankful for what I learned and how I ran my business before, because it was like I kind of went through a warp or something, and I went right back into several agents where when I walked in the office, I sometimes felt a lot of stress and some drama. So had I not been successful before to the point where I could retire, I could have, you know, I don't know how I would have reacted to that. So I just got back to what I knew best. So, and it worked out.
It's interesting. So you've been in the business for basically the same amount of time as Julie and I have been in the business. And, you know, here's the funny thing about, I mean, just staying focused on just being a real estate practitioner, right, being a high-volume producer, there really isn't a heck of a lot that's changed in the past 20 years, if you're being honest. I mean, people like to talk about the technology and the CRMs and the DocuSigns of the world and the Dotloops and the Zillows and the Trulias and the this and that and the others. But it hasn't really, at the end of the day, changed what it takes to be successful. Do you have an opinion on that?
I agree completely. I mean, it comes down to customer service. So DocuSign, of course, saves our lives on many levels and it makes the maintaining or the servicing easier. But there isn't a person that I go to meet that doesn't want quality service. You know, they may misunderstood about what they want or they think agents do, but it is still a customer service industry and always will be.
Well, so what you're saying is like what Brad Inman says, right? I mean, you know, the observation is that essentially most of the evolution has happened on the customer service side of the transaction. It's happened in the after the thing is in contract side of the deal. But when you look at the front end of the business, really where the rubber meets the road, where the agents are either going to thrive or they're going to struggle, that part of the business, the actual getting to know folks, the pre-qualifying folks, the asking the right questions in the right order, you know, essentially that end of the business, I can't ever imagine that's going to change. It's always going to be a belly-to-belly, you know, meeting people type of conversation. Does it frustrate you when you see the newer generation getting into the business who, and they're not being educated as to the fact that that is what it takes to be successful, and all the back end stuff is fantastic. It makes life easier. But if you haven't figured out how to do the front end of the business, you're not even going to have to ever worry about the back end because you won't have enough deals to process.
Well, absolutely, because you see so many young agents that, you know, I can see some in the office and say, man, they would be a fabulous agent. And coming out of that generation where Twitter and Facebook and the texting is so important, I mean, I've actually told a couple of agents they may want to ask their customers if they want to be texted all the time before they actually start going down that road, because they could possibly be losing people who really want that personal touch. So they could be dynamic agents, and that they're not taking a step back and realizing how important our clients are and the value of customer service, then they're cutting themselves short on how successful they could be in the future.
So let's talk
about something.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, but it is kind of, it's a struggle because people don't want to hear the truth oftentimes. And I know you're discovering this as a coach. You know, when you have somebody that's only, it's the millennials mostly, they're not really, and I'm not going to say always the millennials, but it's really any age group, but really pretty much the millennials, who they have come to rely on offline communication as being their, you know, way of essentially keeping relationships, which is great. But the way you sell real estate is going to be taking those, you know, those online communications rather, and taking them offline. And the ability to do that is where the is not something that a lot of people have naturally. That's where they have to learn how to take those sort of polite little back and forths that you sometimes have on Facebook, and then like flipping those. And it's the people's reluctance, agents' reluctance to actually wear the have the mindset of service, but also realize that they're salespeople. That's what realtors are. You know, you have a real estate sales license. That's where a lot of people struggle. They get lost in that. So if you were coaching somebody that was, you know, let's say they're a millennial, let's say they're really drilled down, they know how to use the social networking, they got a billion people that they know on social networking, but it's not translating into transactions, what would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them to get face-to-face with people, just to give it a try, to lay out a plan along with their technology, because that technology is a great spot. When you've gained respect and trust out of your client, that they see other things that are happening. You know, if you have a drip campaign that sends something to them, or, things that are electronically sent, I don't believe you can gain that trust until you're face-to-face with them a couple of times, so they know that you care about them and that you're going to do the best. So I would tell them to practice being face-to-face with people before they get on that, you know, that drive of texting and only emailing. I mean, how I watched a young agent who was trying to negotiate or just send some things to another agent about negotiating through text, and that alone surprised me, because you cannot read emotion in a text, and that's not a good idea.
Yeah. So what did you tell him? How to explain?
Stop
it. What was the next step? Yeah. Stop it. Right.
Just trying to relay to agents that, especially in a world that is so full of technology, I even think customer service, where people are willing to be on the phone or go to the door or meet your seller, you know, on the 21st day of the listing to actually review what things have gone on and where you are as far as the sale process, I think that people are hungry for that today, really.
Well, and Laura, as you know, that's one of the premises of our coaching organization, right? I mean, all the online stuff is fantastic, and it really, truly is. I mean, you can connect with people that you otherwise would have completely lost contact with. You know, it's great.
Yeah.
But if you're not in, if those online conversations aren't able to translate into offline meetings and then transactions, then you're basically wasting your time. And when I say that, when you say that, when anyone says that, it's almost like we're speaking, you know, against someone's religion. You know, it's almost like, oh my gosh, how can you possibly say that? Well, so here's the reality, and she just said it, and she said it wonderfully, is that in a day and age where everyone is online, is texting, is tweeting, is Facebooking, is da-da-da-da-da, the power of a face-to-face, let's meet up at Starbucks type meeting is 1,000% more than it even was when she and I got in the business 20 years ago.
Yeah,
right?
It's priceless. Priceless.
It is. It's priceless, because nobody takes the time to do it. You know, nobody takes the time to say, hey, man, let's meet up. They just don't. You know, they just, right. they'll just, you know, tweet pictures of their hot dog and act like they're having a meal together or whatever, you know? All right, so let's talk about, let's get back to some of the stuff that I know a lot of agents struggle with. I have my opinion on this, and I don't ever cast, I don't even try to persuade someone to have my opinion. It's just, I'm just curious how different people answer this question. But having balance in life, is that an admirable goal or a myth?
I would say yes and yes. So is it? I think it's a complete myth to think that you are going to walk through a garden of roses all the time and life's going to be perfect as you get more successful. But I do think as you grow as a person that you can choose blocks in your life, like the busier I get, Carl, my husband, is not an option to block out, to move out of my schedule. My women's ministry is not an option to move out. So I have the choice that I can sit down and look at my schedule and keep the things in my life that are really important to me and maneuver things around to still be really successful. So I would call that somewhat of a balanced life, that if you are disciplined and care enough about who you love and what you do, that those things, health is one thing. How many agents have we seen that have got extremely busy and they just cut out any type of health? Well, that's not an option for me. So if I have to get up some mornings at 5 instead of 5:30 to get a run in just for my health and my energy, then that's what I would call a balanced life, is figuring out how to keep the important things in your life and still move forward.
You've been successful for decades, not just in real estate, but you know, a lot of other aspects of your life. How have you, and I'm sure our listeners too, can just feel that you have a fantastic mindset. I can just, when I'm talking with you, you know, when I'm around you, you just radiate this sort of, you know, there's no negative vibe with you. And you know what I'm talking about, right? Other people sometimes will carry, they're like carrying a dark cloud around with them every day. Have you
right.
always been like that? Have you always been like a classic optimist? Would you consider yourself an optimist?
I definitely consider myself an optimist, but I can say, I can consider that. I think that was largely came from my family. I grew up in a small town, and, you know, we grew up in the country in a very small town, so you were forced to come up with things that keep you occupied. So, you know, it just can be funny what we look back at what we did as kids. But I don't think I would have remained as positive, especially getting to real estate, had I not been made it that I was absolutely pushing myself around people who either made me feel uncomfortable, trying to get me to jump out of my box and continue to stay involved in, whether it's reading a good book, largely I would say putting me around people that are, make me jump out of my box and feel a little uncomfortable. Because then you get to laugh at yourself a little bit. So,
well, so that's what a great coach does, right? I mean, that's what a great coach does. I mean, really, you have to, you know, walk somebody into realizing that they're not necessarily where they think they are. And if you can politely, casually, you know,
right.
directly rattle their cage a little bit, then that's when real growth starts to actually happen. So I'm
right.
curious, as far as like, if you were like looking back at your long career, what would have been the single, if there is a single biggest success that you can put your finger on, what would it have been? Or what is it?
22 years. Not everybody can say they've been in the business 22 years. I would honestly say being able to, when I got in the business, the first item that I struggled with that I became really good at was growing center of influence of past clients. And I realized how important that was, being as a customer service. So now, 22 later, now that I've come back into the business, you know, and clients that have stayed in touch with me for 20 years are thrilled that I'm back, and I would call that a compliment. Because there are some clients that I see now, and their kids are as tall as me, and they weren't around when I first met their clients, or they were 9 months old or something. So I would say that's my greatest success, is that when I came back, that people were like, welcome back, or, you know, let's move forward and buy a house.
So you keep on bringing up the word customer service, and I think you'll agree, it's probably one of the most overused, least defined terms. So correct me if I'm wrong, Laura, but when you're saying customer service, you're not just talking about, hello, how do you do, you know, would you like cream with your coffee kind of customer service, right? You're talking about basically treating the customer like they'd want to be like you'd want to be treated. You're talking about following up with the customer in between transactions, getting to know the customer on a personal level, actually delivering the services that exceed their expectations. So I think it's important for all of our listeners to understand that customer service goes beyond just making sure that you drop a letter in the mail, you know, when you say you're going to drop it in the mail. So what are the things that you do that make it so that people were celebrating you getting back in the business, right? What is it that you do as far as taking care of your clients that make it so that it's so memorable for you, or rather for them?
Probably a couple of the things are, I'm very professional, but I'm not afraid to laugh at myself. So I did hear from clients sometimes that my energy and excitement, of course, knowing the market and that, but my excitement is what got that listing. So they've got this energetic person, but when something extremely stressful happened, that I didn't join the stress. They were impressed with how I stayed calm. There's always tenseness sometimes, but how I call it calm and tried to set the sail for them on what we should expect, that this is going to be a little painful because some, you know, depending on whatever's happening with negotiations or what have you, and still being able to bring it back at closing to a little bit of laughter. So I think people look at me as genuine. So I think that's just what wins the day is they can call me any day, even when I was out of the business. Do I have a good painter? I have a list of tons of people. I've been here 20 years doing the business, so I have a lot of contacts. So they would call me for the craziest things, but I'm going to find the answer for them.
So let's share with the listeners some surprising things about success. And you know this from coaching. A lot of agents will reach a threshold where they're only going to allow themselves to, and they do this subconsciously mostly, you know, they're only going to allow themselves to experience a certain level of success, limiting beliefs they have that once brought to attention that they can start addressing. Were there any limiting beliefs about your success or how high you could rise when you got into the business that you can remember? How did you get around those?
That's hilarious because you know my personality. I don't know if you remember what I am, but I would be the person who would be terrified to go to a door of a for sale by owner. Expireds I loved, and when I first started, I was afraid to call a $250,000 house, and my average price range grew to $600,000. I would have never gone through those steps without a coach. Would have never done it without a coach, purely by my personality type. So when I say jumping out of the box, I could have coiled back and decided I wanted to stay in this comfortable little spot and not grown to what I've grown to be. And the coaching that I was part of not only grew my business, but it grew me as a person. It grew my mindset on how I want to be with health, with how I treat people. I can't explain it enough to say how important it is, because no matter what personality you are, you're going to sell yourself short some. So if you're someone like me who is literally, you know, I would be breaking out in hives to go to a for sale by owner's door 20 years ago, and now it's nothing. It's just me having a conversation with them because they're advertising that they're in my industry. They want to sell their house.
Actually, a FSBO, right? It's the mindset. Unrepresented seller, thank you. But also remember, the for sale by owner sign is really just a help wanted sign, right? To kind of shift
That's
the
right.
conversation.
That's right.
If I remember correctly, you are an amiable personality type, correct?
I am, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so now, if those of you who don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to past radio shows, especially from a couple weeks ago. We did a real drill down on the four distinct personality types. So just to summarize, Laura, can you tell them a description of basically what a typical amiable personality type, the characteristics and the strengths and maybe the challenges that an amiable personality type might have?
An amiable wants everybody to be happy, not very confronting, not assertive most times. I would say that would be the biggest thing is trying to – the assertiveness was really the biggest thing I had to learn as an S. And and the other thing is for an amiable, so this is great when you find agents that are in amiables, because on some levels, I really think that they can be some of the best agents, because if you train that right, my desire to make my customers happy or do the right thing is a really, really good value that they see in me. So when I learned how to be direct in a professional way and show them, you know, what we have to do for real estate and be strong at negotiating with another agent, well, then that just made everything come together really well. But that took a lot of practice for me years ago.
And I really appreciate that. And by the way, to talk with you, I wouldn't have assumed that your dominant personality was amiable, which is, by the way, a huge compliment, because what you've done is you've learned how to be more versatile, right? I mean, by listening to you, I would have assumed you'd be more on the direct side of the equation, not the indirect side, which an amiable actually is. Now, it's really important, listeners, that you listen to what she just said, because a lot of you, you know, roughly 50% of you, are going to be naturally on the amiable or analytical side, which means a lot of the things that she had to learn to overcome, you're going to have to, or you are learning to overcome yourself. And by overcome, I mean that you're going to have to be okay with asking direct questions and maybe making yourself a little bit uncomfortable. And there's scripts and such that you can say to basically make it so that you don't break out in the hives, right, when you are being direct. Because an amiable person, the last thing they want to do is they don't want to confront. They'll avoid confrontation like the plague. They don't want to ask direct questions. They don't want to offend anybody. They're on the complete opposite side of, say, for example, a driver. But once you learn, Laura?
Yeah, that's like Tim Harris, the driver.
Oh. Well, I mean, when I'm presenting to a group of coaches, maybe on the radio show, I'm versatile, right?
Yeah,
But here's the thing. When you are a amiable personality type, you have a secret power that the other three personality types don't. You naturally and sincerely, at a deeper level than normal people, want to bond with them and want to help them and want to really take care of them. And that is what you keep on going back to. You know that that's your secret power, and that's the reason that you were able to get back in the business after being out 24 months. That's the reason that you're a fantastic coach, because you have learned how to be versatile. You can coach somebody that's not necessarily going to be comfortable with those types of confrontational conversations, and you do it at a high level. That is a really good, that's a fantastic observation to have made for yourself. What was that epiphany? Where did you actually realize that I need to learn how to be more direct? And because that's where most people quit, right? I mean, that's where most agents will say just give up, and they'll just stay only able to work with a very small slither of the top population, people like them. How did you realize that that was something that you needed to work beyond?
I would say probably the biggest thing would be seeing, because I'm somewhat competitive from, you know, I was in track, I raised horses, I showed horses, so you have to, there is some underlying having to be somewhat strong when you've got an 1,100-pound horse standing next to you. So when it came to people, me directing with people, when I was introduced to coaching, there were some probably more amiable or analytical personalities that I met who I became good friends with, and I knew that I could not have what they have as far as the life that they're living if I didn't get over it. And I mean to say, when I started this 20 years ago, it was gut wrenching. I did not like going to doors. I did not like that. What I felt like was aggression or just this conflict inside of me. But once you realize it's about customer service, and you, no matter what price range you're in, people are really, really like each other on many levels. And if you know who you are and what your product is, then there's no crazy talk going on in your head. If you're confident and you're internalized and you did your job about, you know, that neighborhood and the market and the market that's going on around you, there's no reason to be afraid of it.
Well, and the
secret sauce. Really learning your market, because so many agents go in with all the bells and whistles. And if you can calmly explain what the market's doing, based on their personality, whether, you know, we talked about that last week, whether it's nice, short, and sweet, or they need more time with more questions, and you can adapt to that, then you've got a good chance of getting that listing.
Yeah, and I love it. And, you know, I love everything you said. I liked how you framed it, too. You have to go in If you know your market, and that's lots of little coaching advice she just gave you guys. Confidence comes from basically knowing your market cold, and then you back it up with scripts. And there's really not that many scripts you have to know to be successful in real estate. It's not like this huge book of 1,000 scripts. Generally speaking, you're going to find yourself saying the same things over and over and over and over again. That is any kind of sales job. By the way, that if you're a physician, that's true. If you're the president, that's true. If you're anybody, that's true. You just have to get a couple little, well, you know, the listing presentation, the pre-qualification script. There's a few things you just have to internalize. And then after that, the confidence comes from knowing the market. Now, here's a little thing that everyone should write down. And I know a lot of you, tens of thousands of you, are resonating with her because you too realize that you're on the amiable analytical side. Write this down because I'm telling you this will make it probably make a huge difference in your lives. And here it is. I'm of service. I'm here to be of service to others. I'm here to be of service to others. I'm here to be of service to you, Mr. Fisbo. Now, you put yourself mentally in the spot where you're about to knock on that door or you're about to pick up that phone. And your mind is, as she just said, is your mind is filling with, I know every time I do this, you can kind of feel that tension, right? And your mind is filling with all those questionable, oh my gosh, is this person an axe murderer type thoughts, right? But then if you then say to yourself, I'm here to help this person, and I know that if they come off as gruff towards me or grouchy, it's probably just because they're scared. It's probably just because they're under a lot of pressure. Otherwise, why would they act emotionally like that? And my job is to be of service to them. I know this is you guys doing the self-talk to replace the negative self-talk with positive. I know my market. I've done my homework. I know what to say. I have the scripts up on a wall, so I know what to say when they say this or that to me. And I know my heart is of service. I know I'm here to be of service to the person I'm calling. Guys, that right there is the secret sauce. That's it. Laura, right. Am I overstating right. this?
Not at all. Not at all. In fact, when I met you guys, you do have something in your scripts that I thought, oh, I spent how many years asking this many questions, and I could have done this. As an amiable, you have something in your toolbox that I personally love. And then when I watched you do it last week, I loved it even more. Do you want to know what it is?
Yeah,
the Sharpie quote.
Yeah,
I mean,
isn't that awesome?
Go in there and just be able to ask the questions. So if you tell them to give you three questions, immediately you'll know what personality they are.
Yes,
I just thought that was priceless.
Yep, you'll know what personality type they are, but you also know how to sell to them because they'll tell you what they want to hear. And
right.
Yeah, so coaching students, listen. She's now we're talking internal Harris coaching mumbo jumbo right now when she says Sharpie quotes. No, it's fine because a lot of the listeners are coaching clients or are going to become coaching clients. Coach, go to your coach, say, Coach, point me in the direction of Sharpie clothes, or just go to Real Estate Coaching Essentials on the website and listen to all the videos on that. And she's right. It takes all the tension out of the room. When you follow the system, guys, when you actually use the pre-listing pack, when you pre-qualify, when you follow the listing presentation, as it is, I'm telling you, it's fun. It's not hard. Those of you who have been avoiding becoming listing agents because you've built this thing up in your head that, oh, I'm not ready, or, oh, I need to be in the industry for ridiculous amount of time, or whatever excuses you've created for yourselves, they're not real. You can be a listing agent starting today. And the fact is being a listing agent is, I mean, dare I say, a hell of a lot easier. Because as Julie says, working with buyers is physical labor. You're out there schlepping around buyers. Are you kidding me? That's physical labor. Working with sellers is mental labor. You know, it's picking up the phone. It's knowing what to say. And then you can delegate that. That's the beauty of being a listing agent. Guys, if there's anything we can ever do for you, request a free coaching call at freecoachingcallsforagents.com. We obviously have passion for what we do, and I'm very hesitant to use that word. But we do. We love what we do. You love what you do as a coach, right, Laura?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. You know what's really cool? Let's forget there's a lot of people on the phone. What's really fun is that it's one thing to be successful at real estate and sell hundreds of houses and have some really big, you know, successes and recognition and all the stuff that comes with being a successful agent, right? That's cool. That's like ego stuff, right? But
right.
when you can help somebody else accomplish their goals in life, that is so much on a different level than really anything else you can possibly experience. It's a beautiful gift. I mean, isn't being a coach like an incredible – it's almost like you almost feel sometimes like you should be paying the clients just to allow you to – because you're their coach, you know? It does feel like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I have one girl named Kim who, if you get to experience what exactly what I went through when she started with me. No discussion about for sale by owners. Don't talk to me about for sale by owners. I don't want to even consider for sale by owners. To maybe 8 to 10 weeks later, I love for sale by owners. It's like, what? that's a good one. Good job. Just, you know, what are the small successes? You got the phone off the sign of the for sale by owner. You know, you slid a packet in without knocking on the door. Then you actually knocked on the door and got the listing. It's wonderful.
Well, exactly, right? The stages of mastery, in essence. Yeah, so if for nothing else from this call today, from this radio show, guys, you should feel guilty next time you drive by a for sale by owner. You should have some pang of discontent. Stop convincing yourself that they've got heads in the freezer in their garage. They don't. Most FSBOs in every sort of survey that's ever been done asking why a FSBO decides to FSBO, it's not to save commission. They didn't decide to FSBO because they wanted to save commission. They decided to FSBO because they didn't know an agent. So literally, the for sale by owner sign, now I'm not saying commission wasn't part of it, obviously, but it's because they didn't know somebody. So a FSBO sign, a mindset shift here, is nothing more than a please help me sign. It's a help wanted sign for you guys to go and offer your services. And if you're just totally and completely, your teeth are itching at the thought of doing any kind of direct prospecting because you're actually believing that you can buy your business or believing that you can tweet your way to success, okay, I'm promising you the work where you actually put yourself in front of sellers that have to sell is so much easier than you think once you get the system down. And the system is, hey, guess what? It's the same one that's basically been working long before Laura and I were in the business. You know, the process to get somebody to work with you as a listing agent, it's never going to change. All these other little gimmicky things that basically distract you guys, you have to see them for what they are. You know, you have to learn the basic skills, and once you do, you are free. You know, Laura can be picked up anywhere. She can be dropped anywhere in the country, and with the skill set she has, I guarantee you within 90 days that she would be a great listing agent. I mean, maybe not even 90 days, right? I mean, you'd have to know the market.
Right.
But other than that, yeah. So, Laura, as we round the bend on today's radio show, anything else you'd like to say to these listeners? Hopefully they had fun. I know I did. Hopefully you did.
if I could just say one thing about coaching, I do believe that it really helped me build my business. So in 2005, I had a serious personal life change, and it took me by surprise. And I heard some of the questions that you were asking. What was your biggest failure? That would be what I would call mine. Probably the first or second thing I did amongst all that emotion was I fired my coach. So I cut off the one person who would have remained positive and neutral through the situation. So that I was beat up for maybe, I think, 9 months, and I, of course, called them back. But I guess I want to just say that because sometimes when you start out in coaching and, you know, you look at it as an investment, hopefully you look at it as an investment instead of, you know, something different. But there are stages. And when that coach gets to know who you are and what your blocks are, they are your biggest cheerleader. So that 2005 year would have been way less painful if I would have kept somebody in my court who I knew was not attached to any outcome except for my success. So that's good. I would just like to put that plug in for coaching, is that it is, hands down, I would not have been as successful if I didn't get around people who were better and growing above me so I could learn from them.
Well, Laura Roy, I thank you for being a coaching client. I thank you for being one of our great coaches. I look forward to listeners listening to this and wanting and requesting you as their coach, because I'm sure they will. I mean, you have a very impressive sales career, but also you also have your sales career aside, you have a really wonderful way about you, a great energy. You're very professional. And honestly, talking to you truthfully, I would never have guessed until I saw your disc profile that you're amiable. I mean, that's great, too. So
I think that is a compliment.
Well, it is. I mean, what more compliment can you give someone than telling them that they're versatile? You know, that's huge. So listeners, take advantage of this, please. You guys realize this is real estate. You know, I say this, I know some people like, are you kidding me? You got to be crazy. Real estate is probably the easiest industry that there is to make the most amount of money, as long as you have the mindset to be of service to other people. It starts with that. Remember, guys, 90% of the success, the ever-increasing success, you'll not just the occasional success, the ever-increasing success you'll have in life, comes from your mindset, and 10% comes from your skill set. You cannot have one without the other. So, guys, let us help you. If there's anything we can be doing for you, request a free coaching call at freecoachingcallsforagents.com. Laura, I think you and I could go for a couple more hours. I really appreciate your time today.
Great. Thank you.
Have a great week.
You too.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.